We sing hymn number 13. Number 13. Man of Sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hymn number 13. Man of sorrow. God and our loving Father, we're here tonight because of Calvary's cross, of that precious work that thy beloved Son did there on Calvary's cross. That blessed one in whom was no sin, yet was made sin for us. There, in those three dark hours of Calvary's cross, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And because of that work, that precious work on Calvary's cross, this wonderful news of salvation can go out to poor, lost, fallen man. And we pray that tonight, as it goes forth, that as we read thy precious word, that by thy Spirit, that tonight thou would speak to any in this room who are still lost and in their sins, that they might find in thee, blessed Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And we pray this, and we ask thee for help, as we open thy precious word, and we give thee thanks for the privilege of being able to do so. In thy precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus, amen. I would like to turn to a very well-known passage in connection with the gospel in 2 Kings chapter 6 and 2 Kings chapter 7. The events of the last 2 months have exercise me tonight to take up these two chapters, and we're going to see a little parallel between 2 Kings chapter 6 and the present day and these last 2 months of what has happened to this world and the disasters that have come upon this world. And surely I believe that God is speaking to this world in a most profound way. And tonight He's also speaking to you if you're still lost and in your sins tonight. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way. And then He says, turn ye, for why will ye die? And so He's offering salvation, full and free, to whosoever will tonight. And that offer of mercy has gone out, this wonderful gospel message has gone out for 2,000 years, and still tonight, by God's grace, it's still going out. And you have, if you're still lost, the opportunity tonight to accept Christ as your own personal Savior. And I must warn you tonight that tomorrow may be too late. Twice over in Ezekiel, He says, warn them from me. The gospel brings with it a warning of coming judgment for those that accept God's wonderful offer of mercy. And so I plead with you tonight, time is running out. Time is running out. I know that your president said that not too long ago. President Bush told the Taliban in Yugoslavia that time was running out. And it is. Time is running out for this world. I believe that the Lord's coming is very, very soon. And everybody that you speak to in connection with this disaster that happened, they raise this comment that know the Lord as their Savior. I believe the Lord is coming. And yes, I believe it is. And I believe it's very soon. And maybe it'll be this very night. But, dear one, tonight, if you put it off and wait for another day, another moment, it's your eternal destiny. And where will you spend eternity? For those that have not Christ as their Savior, have not had their sins washed away in the precious blood of Christ, it'll be forever too late for you. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung was for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by in the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, the woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her, the next day give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And he said, God do so more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Now, I want you to look at these words. But Elisha sat in his house. But Elisha sat in his house. And the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messengers came to him, he said to the elders, "See ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." And there were four leprous men at the entry and in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here and die? If we say we enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here also, and if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even in the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Then those lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp. They went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into the other tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And they said one to another, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came into the camp of Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and tents as they were." And they called the porters, and they told it in the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the fields, saying, 'When they shall come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get unto the city.'" And one of the servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see." They took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, say, "Go and see." And they went after them into Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of flour was sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, that he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate that he died. When we were having our gospel meetings on the south coast of Newfoundland this summer, in between meetings, local townsfolk had built a trail along the water's edge in order to attract a little tourist trade in the town. And so I thought that for the afternoon hours when there wasn't much to do, that I would go along that trail and discover this trail and see what it was like. And a very beautiful trail, all gravel all the way along, and beautiful rocky scenery, the waves crashing in on the south coast of Newfoundland, which is very notorious for stormy weather and waves. And many ships have been lost along that shoreline. And to go along that shoreline, one has to be at least a mile offshore before you're safe from any rocks that you would hit. But there were some signs along this trail, and one caught my attention, and that was the sinking of the Despatch. The Despatch was a schooner, and it was going along the south coast of Newfoundland in 1880, and it was heading for Boston, and it had 163 passengers on board this ship. And he had taken a sounding from Cape Ray Lighthouse, and he apparently had calculated wrong. And that Despatch ran up on the rocks. And I saw the rocks where that Despatch went up against. And there was a very stormy wind blowing, and the waves were crashing against those rocks. And there was this schooner with his nose up on the rocks, and the tail end was being smashed to bits by the waves crashing against it. And 163 passengers were huddled together on the front of that ship, and they were in dire straits. They were in awful condition. They were about to be dashed into eternity, and there was actually no hope for those 163 passengers that were on that boat. Now, dear one, tonight, as this is the gospel meeting, and I want to impress this deeply upon your heart tonight, that you, if you're without Christ tonight and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and if you're not under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ, you're just like those 163 passengers who were doomed for a watery grave. But there was a young girl that was walking along the shore. Her name was Ann Harvey. She had a father by the name of George Harvey. She had a young brother, and she had a dog, a Newfoundland dog, by the name of Harry Mann. And this Ann Harvey saw the wreckage coming on shore, and she realized that there was a wreck. And she ran to her father, and she said, Father, get the lifeboat out. And they got the lifeboat out, and they got Harry Mann and the young brother into that boat with the waves around them. It was dangerous for them. 100 feet or so offshore was this boat. And they rowed part way out to this boat. They couldn't go much farther. And they put a rope in the mouth of Harry Mann, and they threw him overboard and said, Go to that boat. And that dog swam, and you know, a Newfoundland dog is a very powerful swimmer. And that dog swam for that boat and made it to that boat. And they got that rope, and they gave that dog another rope to go back to the shore. Well, there was two ropes, one for, one back. And they put the, can't think of the name of it. Sorry. It's a little chair. A breeches boy, they call it. A breeches boy. Attached to that rope, and 163 passengers on that boat were safely on shore. What a great deliverance. What a great deliverance. Do you think they weren't happy with Ann Harvey? Do you think they weren't happy with George Harvey and that Newfoundland dog? Oh, yes, they were. George Harvey was given a citation by King George. But what a wonderful deliverance was made for you at Calvary's cross. Have you ever thanked the Lord Jesus for dying on Calvary's cross for you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever come as a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God? You know, you've sinned against the holy God, and those sins have separated you from a holy God. And you can't get to heaven with all those sins on you. But thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's the message of the gospel. Are you sheltered under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I am. Thank God I am. Thank God I am that He saved my precious soul over 50 years ago. What a Savior. Surely we can say as a hymn that we've just sang, hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He has set me free. Set free from all my sins, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a scene that we have here. Ben-Hadad, he's coming here, and he's just surrounding the city of Samaria. He had all, his father and his grandfather had already attacked the city of Samaria, and they had lost 127,000 men. And yet they come up against the city of Samaria again. And isn't this just like the God of this world? He never gives up. And think of this, of the recent disasters that have happened in this world, that God is speaking to this world in a most profound way. God speaketh once, yea, twice. Are you listening to what God is saying to you? Oh, dear one, tonight, these are the issues of life, your eternal destiny. And we don't want to see you go out of this room unsaved tonight. And we plead with you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in the 7th chapter of the John's Gospel, it says, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Oh, you know, there's many thirsty people in this world. There's only one that can satisfy your thirst, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, won't you come to Him? His arms are outstretched to you tonight. If you're still in your sins, He's saying to you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, those are beautiful words from our precious Savior. And He's pleading for you to come tonight. He doesn't want to send you to hell. He doesn't want to send you to a lost eternity. But if you reject His wonderful offer of mercy, He's got no other course. And so He pleads for you to come tonight. And so this awful scene, we find that these two women had boiled their son. What a terrible thing! And yet, what has happened in the last 2 months? Terrible thing happened over there in New York. Everybody all over this world was shocked that 5,000 souls were dashed into eternity in a split second. But what a world that we're living in. The imagination of man's heart is only evil continually, and he's getting worse. And unless we're washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, that's the formula. That's the formula. And so we have this awful scene. And yet, I paused. You know, here's Elisha. He sat still in his house. I think that's precious. I think it's just beautiful. Here is this awful scene, tremendous famine in Samaria. These two women, the king with sackcloth underneath his coat. He didn't want everybody to know that the hand of God was upon him. And yet, here's Elisha sitting still in his house. I think it's beautiful. I want to say it this way. We can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. I'll say that again. We can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. In spite of all this awful scene that we are passing through, and we have passed through, and maybe we'll pass through more of it, more violence in this world, we can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. And so we asked you tonight, is the blood on the door? Are you sheltering under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That he suffered, bled, and died for you on Calvary's cross for your sin. He did that for you because he loved you. The Apostle Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How wonderful that we can have this wonderful thing. That the Lord Jesus, in the first verse of our chapter 7 says, Elisha says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Are you listening? Are you listening to what God is saying to you tonight? Even though it's feeble, are you listening to what he's saying to you? He's speaking to you. What does he say? Tomorrow. 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 You know, the Lord Jesus is my tomorrow. He is my future. He is the one that I am going to spend eternity with. Through sovereign grace, he saved my precious soul, and he is my tomorrow. I don't have to worry about anything else. My sins are gone, all washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior that we have to proclaim tonight. And now, next thing we see here, and here is a man. He says, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, would this thing be? Here's a man that mocks the grace of God. Oh, dear one, don't mock the grace of God. Don't put off the grace of God. You know, it says in the third chapter of Second Peter, in the last days, there are going to be mockers saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Oh, dear one, tonight he is coming. The Word of God tells us so. By the authority of the precious Word of God, he's coming. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What precious words of life. You can come knowing that he will receive you. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, won't you come to him tonight and be richly blessed. Be saved in your soul. He wants to save you. But then, what do we find next? We find four leprous men. four leprous men. And what a scene this is. There they are. They're sitting right outside the gate of Samaria. Now you know right well what's going to happen should Ben-Hadad come into this. Right at the gate of the city would be the heat of the battle. And that's where they were standing. And the next thing we find out is this. They were lepers. They were lepers. And they had to stand off and cry unclean, didn't they? And what is leprosy? It's a type of sin. And everyone, the Word of God says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a predicament they're in. There they are. They're lepers. They're right there at the gate of the city. And they're in a terrible, terrible place. I say, just like the dispatch, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're just like this. Helpless, guilty, unable to save yourself. But all the good news of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It says in Luke chapter 15, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, he'll receive you if you'll come to him as a guilty, lost sinner tonight. He says in Acts chapter 17, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And so he wants you to repent tonight. What does that mean? To be sorry for your sins, like the prodigal son. He came to his father and he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I have sinned. The publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the sinner's prayer. And if you pray the sinner's prayer tonight, he'll save you. He'll save you right in your seat. And what do they say? Why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die? If we do nothing about our sins, we'll die in our sins. If we do nothing. But if you come to the Lord Jesus tonight, he'll save you. What a Savior. What a Savior. What had happened? Verse 6, for the Lord had made the noise of the Syrians to hear a great noise of chariots, the noise of horses, the noise of a great host. And what happened? They fled. They fled. The whole army of the Syrians had fled. I say, oh, what a deliverance. What a wonderful deliverance. And oh, I look to the Calvary's cross and I see the Lord Jesus there crying out on Calvary's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, it was on account of my sins that he was there being the sin bearer for me. He bore my sins in his own body in the tree. And all I can say, what a deliverance. What a deliverance. What a Savior. Do you know this wonderful Savior? Do you know this wonderful God? Oh, yeah, miss something if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. As I often say, you know, people sometimes think that it's a dull life to be a child of God. No, it isn't. It's the most exciting thing. A most wonderful thing to be a child of God. To know that my future is in Christ. It's in Christ. What a Savior. What a wonderful deliverance from our sins. He made this one. It says here, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots. Ah, now here's something else that I've been delivered from. Let's for a second go to the 40th Psalm. 40th Psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Ah, dear one tonight, has He heard your cry? You that are lost and in your sins tonight, I'm speaking to you. Has He heard your cry? He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know, if you're still in your sins, you're in trouble. Will He hear your cry tonight, or will you put it off? He heard my cry. What does He say? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You know what it says here? Look in the margin. It says, a pit of noise. He brought me up also out of a pit of noise. You know, this is a wonderful deliverance for you and I that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been delivered from an awful pit of noise. The radio's got to be cranked right up tight. The boomers on as they go down the street. You wonder how their ears are doing. I've been redeemed from all that. I've been redeemed from all that. I've been preserved from all that. I just say, hallelujah, what a Savior. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and established my going. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Oh, what a wonderful person to praise, to thank Him. We're going to be doing that for all eternity, to praise Him. He's worthy of the highest praise that we can give Him. Oh, I say tonight, hallelujah, what a Savior. Do you know this wonderful Savior, the Savior of sinners? Then these lepers, 8th verse, went to the uttermost part of the camp, and they went into one tent and did eat and drink. You think of this. Here's these lepers. They were probably starving. There was a massive famine there in Samaria. And here they go into the camp there, and what do they find? They eat, drink, silver, gold, raiment, five things. These are the five things that Rebekah was given in Genesis 24. And oh, these are the blessings that belong to you if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's my habit every day when I get down on my knees in the morning to thank the Lord Jesus for all the blessings that He showers upon me every day, because they are more than can be numbered. The blessings that He showers upon us because we belong to Him. What a wonderful Savior. And He's going to shower those blessings upon us for all eternity when we're with Him in that coming scene of glory. Oh, and I believe that moment is very, very, very soon. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. You know, that statement there is one of the most beautiful statements that you could ever think of. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. You know, in spite of all this world, this chaos and the sorrows of this world tonight, we can say, this is a day of good tidings. It is. You know what the good tidings are? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the good tidings. That's the good tidings for you. That is the good news for the guilty lost sinner. September the 10th, this year, I was told this story by a man that I know and I had breakfast with the other day. September the 10th, an American Airlines stewardess was given a gospel tract. She read the gospel tract and she inquired about it, of the giver of that tract, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. September the 11th, her plane went into the World Trade Tower. God saved her. God is not willing that any should perish. What a God. What a God we have. Do you know this wonderful God? This wonderful God that delights to save. This wonderful, wonderful God. Oh, if you don't know this wonderful God, you're missing something very wonderful. We're going to spend an eternity with Him. And surely our hearts tonight would cry out, even so, come Lord Jesus. But oh, we're burdened tonight for those that are still lost and in their sins. You know, there was a man here in this chapter that mocked the grace of God. Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Elisha had to tell him, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes. But he wouldn't partake of it. He was there in the gate when all those people heard about food. And there was a massive evacuation of the city of Samaria through that gate, and they trod upon him that he died there in the gate. He mocked the grace of God. He mocked. Dear one, tonight I say this to you very seriously. Don't mock the grace of God. Don't put off the question of your soul's salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I say to you young boys, you young girls here, sitting beside your mother and father tonight, there's a verse in the Bible that you know, that you've memorized in Sunday school. And it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The time to come to Christ is when your heart is young and tender to receive Christ as your Savior. Dear young boys, young girls here tonight, even though you're young, you have sinned against God. And those sins have separated you from a holy God. Those sins need to be washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang together many times this summer, my heart was black with sin until the Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed me white as snow. And in God's word I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold. Oh, wonderful, wonderful day. He washed my sins away. Thank God that tonight I can say, I'm saved. I'm sheltered under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And I can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Shall we pray? God and our loving Father, we do ask Thee that tonight, if there's one here still in their sins, that tonight they might come to Thee and be saved. We pray earnestly, loving Father, for this. And we thank Thee for this time together over Thy word this evening. We ask Thy blessing on it. In Thy precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen.